This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Hearst Castle on the California coast, and we're with Michael Young, who's executive director of the Hearst Castle Foundation. Hi, Michael.
Good to see you, and thank you for making the drive. And actually, I have to correct you, it is a new name. It's the Foundation at Hearst Castle.
Oh, interesting. So this is all brand new.
This is all brand new. It's actually an organization that's been around for 35 years, but what we've been able to do is really kind of expand our mission. And once we expanded our mission, we also wanted to rebrand. And the old name, which I was on the board almost 18 years ago, for a number of years, it was the Friends of Hearst Castle. And we have all decided, just given the expansion of our mission and the broadening of our reach, we really felt like the name needed to line up with our organization, something with more gravitas. The Friends was great, and there's a lot of Friends organizations around the state, but Friends kind of connotates a colloquial or more local flavor or organization, and quite candidly, as we all know, Hearst Castle is an international brand, and what we're doing now with the foundation is really more of a national scope.
Paradoxically, it's a state parks organization, so it's state and yet national and worldwide.
It's really unique. I mean, it's one of the most unique state parks, I think, anywhere. And so I think the new name, the new branding, and our expanded mission really do help. And so, yes, the foundation at Hearst Castle is now open for business, and we're very pleased with how far we've come in the last 2 years.
Why was it formed, and what's its primary mission?
Primary mission is to make sure that we continue to generate donations and bring in funding to help with many of the projects that the state doesn't have a budget to do.
Give us an example, one of your primary targeted.
Well, one of the things that we're just finishing up is the morning room ceiling. The morning room is the room that you enter to right before you go into the main dining hall, which we call the refectory. They call it the morning room is because that's where the sun would come in. That's where guests would go have their coffee. We had this amazing ceiling. And this is literally a piece of art that came from a cathedral. And over time, both from when it was in its original place and also over the years being in the castle, because they used to smoke in that morning room back when everybody smoked cigars, you name it, and it was right off the billiards room. And so the ceiling had collected a lot of soot, and just over time this beautiful ceiling had just become very dull. And one of our first projects as the foundation at Hearst Castle is we finished this up. It was started by the Friends of Hearst Castle, but we are finishing up the restoration of the morning room ceiling. It's taken over 5 years. It has to be meticulously cleaned and basically restored. Incredibly long process, very expensive process. And so we just made the last donation to finish the morning room ceiling. And that's just one of many, many projects.
There are two levels in your world, in conservancy and restoration.
Mm-hmm. Restoration would be what we are talking about with the morning room ceiling. Conservancy is like what we're doing with some of the alabaster.
Or the tapestries.
Or the tapestries, mm-hmm. Yes. And so it's just making sure that what we have doesn't degrade or doesn't get to a point where then it has to be restoration. I think it's pretty straightforward. Things that are okay, we just make sure that they remain in that. And you think about all of the thousands of artifacts. And you're talking, too, about the tile floors that everybody walks on throughout the gardens. Those have to continuously be maintained or they'll just disintegrate.
It's incredible the number of bodies that troop through Hearst Castle every day.
Yeah, and people forget, you know, you get up there and you're in awe of how one man and woman, Julia Morgan, could create such an amazing place, and you think of it as a home. But the reality is Hearst Castle is one of the finest fine art museums in our country, and it holds some incredible artifacts and pieces of art. That's why it is what it is. But you sometimes forget, and you're literally walking on, you know, on wonderful antiques and wonderful artifacts, and so the floors are something that has to be preserved as well. You had pointed out to me, we're sitting in this exhibit hall with some of these beautiful photos, and you pointed out to me the Gothic suite, and you said, do you ever get underwhelmed, or do you ever get tired of seeing that? And how can you? It's unlike anything.
You've been here 18 years plus,
yeah,
and yet it still is mind-blowing, fascinating for you.
It really is, and my history is really unique, but I was asked almost 20 years ago to be part of a task force that Governor Gray Davis put together. Rusty Arreaz, who is the old state parks, head of state parks, asked to put together a group of eclectic people from all different types of businesses to come together to figure out how to rebrand and to monetize and to remarket Hearst Castle, to let people, not just in this area, but all over the world know, and to be able to provide an experience for them that would be memorable.
How do you reach out? Who do you reach out to? And what do you ask for? How do you engage them?
So the foundation at Hearst Castle, our mission has nothing to do with driving business to Hearst Castle. It has nothing to do with promoting Hearst Castle. Our business, we're a cooperative association. Our business is to raise funds to make sure that we continue to maintain and restore the castle. But on top of that, our new mission and our expanded mission is what we're doing, and which I am so excited about, is that we are bringing underserved junior high kids from all over the state of California.
You help with the funding for the school buses and whatnot to make that happen?
We pay for everything.
Wow.
So we pay for everything from the time the kids get on the bus. We pay for the transportation. We feed them on the bus. We then feed them when they get here. We have a tour that is second to none. And so many of these kids, an example is a group from King City. It's just an example. Our mission is to bring 1,000 kids each year from all over the state, everywhere from Richmond to far away as Orange County, and then a lot of in between. And we take care of the local schools as well. But I'll give you a good example. King City is an hour and a half away. This is from an underserved junior high, and we brought 50 kids plus teachers and chaperones. These are 12, 13-year-old kids, an hour and a half away approximately. And out of those 50 kids, only 15 of them had ever seen the ocean.
Wow.
And so it's really our STEAM program. And if you go to our website, which is foundation@hearstcastle.com, you can see many of the videos that we have of these school visits. But basically they come, and again, many of them, you know, hardly any of them have ever been to the castle. I would say 99% of them have never been to the castle.
Did not even know about it.
And didn't even know it existed because they're 12 and 13 years old. And they're coming from backgrounds that the family doesn't talk about Hearst Castle. And many of them are from families that are laborers. Their one day off is Sunday, and they're not going to spend it traveling all around the state or the country. They're just trying to recover from a very hard week.
Have you observed some pretty incredible aha moments with these kids?
It's unbelievable. And so basically when they get here, the first thing they do is they go in and they watch the movie Building the Dream on the IMAX theater.
Later, among the ruins of ancient Rome and Greece, they found their inspiration for their final creation of the Neptune Pool.
None of them have ever seen an IMAX screen. The screen is enormous, and the sound and the clarity is beyond. They've never seen anything like that. So that's the first thing that they do when they get off the bus. Then they drive up the hill, and I've been on a number of the buses with them, and to me, the bus ride up the hill, you're looking out, you're seeing zebras, you're seeing all this different wildlife. And the kids, it was like a Disney ride, just the bus trip alone, which I've been on that road too many times, and I find it boring. Well, through a kid's eyes.
That's your commute, isn't it?
That's my commute. But through a kid's eyes, they might as well be in a safari. You know, they're going up, and they're getting, I mean, that is a very steep, very windy road. So they get up to the top of the mountain, and really our program is about STEAM. So it's science, technology, engineering, art, and math. And there's no better place in the world to show firsthand and in real life how STEAM is used to do things like building a castle and engineering that road. And then we also talk about...
That really is. I'm thinking about it. STEAM is like home base for Hearst Castle because of the addition of art.
And you think about technology. When Hearst was here, he ran his entire operation from the top of that hill when he was here, and he was here quite a bit. He ran, hundreds of papers and radio stations and movie studios, all from here, because he had the highest forms of technology available anywhere in the world. He had some of the most advanced phones. He had teletype. He had telegraph. You name it. He had it here. And so what's interesting is to be able to show the kids that technology, and then they are able to kind of understand how far we have come. And then the engineering is a no-brainer, just the road itself, engineering what they did to build that castle.
One thing that blows my mind are the giant live oak trees that he physically moved.
And that's the other thing we talk about. You know, here's a man that isn't really given the credit for being such a naturalist. He's always been extremely concerned about the land. What's interesting is these kids have an opportunity to really see the evolution of things. And even more importantly, they get to see the evolution of technology. They get to see basically things that are all over the world. So here's kids that have never gone probably more than 10 square miles outside of where they grew up and where they currently live. And now they're having, in what, 3 hours, having a chance to see things from all over the world. And so you have a chance to really see the world when you visit Hearst Castle. But the one thing that really kind of resonates, especially with the young women, is when we start telling the story about Julia Morgan. And many of the children that we have, many of them are young Latinas, and we really use the Julia Morgan story, and pardon my pun, but Julia Morgan really is, she is the Jackie Robinson of women in engineering and architecture. There's nobody like her. She broke down every single barrier and opened up a pathway for so many women, and she was incredibly prolific.
Over 100 years ago.
And so you talk about engineering, what she did with this building. She was at the forefront of building everything with concrete and rebar. Nobody did that. But she knew she had to do that because of, you know, we weren't sitting very far from a fault, and you're in California. And I'm only touching on a few things that are discussed during these kids' tours, but it really opens their eyes to all things with science, technology, engineering, art, and math. And so the beautiful thing is the science comes in, so they spend half a day up there. The aha moments, I'll never forget, they get off the bus, and we take them up to the very top, right in front of the Casa Grande, and we take them over to a terrace that looks out over the ocean. And literally, their jaws just drop. And, you know, kids talk. And when they see that, it's like quiet. They're just like, I can't believe what I'm seeing here. And so after that, after they go through the tours, and the guides are instructed to really look at the castle and take these kids through on these tours with this whole STEAM in mind. So everything is really geared towards that, because we want kids to understand and challenge them on what they are good at in school, right, and how it could apply to one of these curriculums that then turns into a career. And so after that half day, then we bring them down, we feed them, and then we take them across the way to Hearst State Beach, which is one of the most beautiful beaches, and we take them out onto the pier. They teach them about marine biology, and they send them on a scavenger hunt, and we have this great software with these iPads. It's just an amazing day, and these kids, like I said,
What do the iPads do?
So basically what they do is we send them on a scavenger hunt, they take a picture of it, and then it pulls it up and tells them what it is that they just found. Then they have to remember about certain pieces of it, and then they have to, you know, in order for them to get credit for finding that thing, then they have to be able to input what it was, and so they don't just like find it and forget about it. It's really something to help them remember and learn about what they are learning on that day. And then the beautiful thing is we allow them to, you know, put their feet and their hands in the water. And again, another aha moment was one of these young kids, after he put his hands in the water and it kind of splashed up on him, he's like, this water is so salty. And I just laughed. I'm like, wow, the things that we take for granted.
Yeah, like you said, these are kids, many of them have never seen the ocean.
Never seen the ocean, and they're an hour and a half away. So at the end of the day, what we do is we take them on the pier, we stretch them out. And at the pier on San Simeon, you're looking at this beautiful cove. You're looking at the warehouses where all the building materials and everything and all the artifacts were brought in and then taken up the hill. And then you look back down the pier and you're looking up at the castle. And so we ask these kids to reflect and say, you know, how has your view of your world and your dreams changed since coming here this day? And the responses that we get are just mind-blowing and they make you cry. So that's what I'm really excited about, and it would take me a lot longer to articulate mm-hmm. what we're doing. I hope your listeners get a little flavor of this.
Well, who would have thought that Hearst Castle is a teaching, teachable moment that's life-changing?
It really is, because it just opens kids' eyes. And, you know, again, these kids may never have a chance to do something like this again, even sometimes as an adult, just because of the communities that we're bringing these kids from. But really, we have big dreams of what we want to do is follow. You're gonna really inspire a couple kids on each trip. So what we're looking to do is establish then we're going to bring some of these kids back, and we're going to start with some of the young girls. We want to put together what's called the Julia Morgan Empowerment Conference, where we get some of the architecture and engineering students, some of the young women from Cal Poly and from Cal or whatever, because Julia Morgan has so many connections to Cal, and bring them together during this conference and really try to inspire some of these young kids to go forward. And then what we'd love to be able to do is follow some of these kids and end up scholarshiping them. And so there's a very long-term plan. Again, we're in our second year, but we have, I think, a beautiful plan in place. And because of the donors that we're now getting, and I can get into the benefits of being a donor.
Go ahead a little bit.
Okay. So, again, this all doesn't happen for nothing. We have to raise funds to be able to, one, to bring the kids in, and also the hundreds of thousands of dollars that we need to allocate each year towards restoration and preservation. So how does that happen? Well, we have memberships. We also have just individual donors, people that will donate $10, you know, $100. And then we have memberships, and the memberships start at $48 a month, which is about $500 a year. And for that membership comes a lot of wonderful benefits. One, you have access to all the events that we now have. The state of California has been very gracious in allowing us to hold events that really are historical interpretive events.
Example.
So, for example, Hearst built this place to entertain. He really did. I mean, he built it because he loved to collect. He built it because of his love of architecture. But the end game was he had a place to entertain, and entertain in a way that only he could. And so what we're able to do is recreate some of those moments. One of the things that we do is a dinner and a movie. So we've taken the A House, which is the Casa del Mar, which is the guest house that Hearst lived in when he was getting older, because they didn't want him clear up at the top of the house and going up and down elevators and stairs. It's the most beautiful guest house, and it looks out over the ocean. And we've taken the A House, and we take the sunroom, and we turn that into a dining room. And so what we do is for 14 people, we have what's called a dinner and a movie. And you come up, we bring you up in a beautiful, you know, luxury coach, and we then have a reception on the terrace in front of the Casa del Mar, which is one of the most beautiful views you'll ever see. Have a little champagne, then we move up to the next level, which is another deck leading up into the sunroom, and we have a little hors d'oeuvres and a little wine, all local, of course, and then we move into the sunroom, which we've turned into a dining room, which has one of the most magnificent, again, views you'll ever see, and you're literally 10 yards from Hearst's bedroom as you're dining. And we bring in, you know, a beautiful four-course meal paired with wines. Then after that, after all that, we then escort everybody over to Hearst's private theater. We are able to do something that very few people do other than family, and that's to sit in those seats that everybody from Clark Gable to Charlie Chaplin to Jimmy Stewart to you name it has sat and watched, whether it be premieres of Hearst movies or just other movies, and we watch a movie. And many times we'll let our guests choose, and many times they'll choose silent movies or movies of that time. And that's just one example. And we try to do everything in the most authentic way so that people can see what it was like and have it not just be an entertainment experience, have it be a really a reenactment of what used to happen. And then the thing that really has become unbelievably popular is our swims in the Neptune pool and the Roman pool. And we do it in a way that is very similar to how Hearst would have entertained his guests. We have these beautiful hors d'oeuvres served around the pool. We provide them with beautiful gifts and merchandise and beautiful towels that are very reminiscent of the time. Music of that period is going on. We try to reenact as best as we can what it would have been like to be one of Hearst's guests.
Interesting. So here you are literally cloistered on a mountaintop, far away from even San Luis Obispo. visually, mentally. How do you reach out? How do you engage?
The beauty of today's technology is through social media and just, you know, being very strategical in how you use social media, because we don't have a big budget. We have to work on a shoestring budget and have an engaging website. Those things, we have been able to very quickly take this from what was really a local group, because it was so hard. And the amount of money that a local group like that had to have back in the day to do traditional media would have been in the hundreds of thousands of dollars to just make a little bit of noise.
But now you go on Twitter and it's instant.
And with wonderful people like Tom Wilmer, we're able to reach a much wider audience. But yeah, through social media, it has just absolutely blown up. We sold out every single event we had last year. Our first swim is in June, and we already have three of our swims sold out. But what it's doing more than anything, it's not the events. It's really getting people up here. We're not going to be able to do all the great things that we want to do if we're just going to generate revenue from events. That's not going to get you very far. But what it does is the people that are coming, it's really amazing, the eclectic group that are coming. We have CEOs to, you know, teachers and courtroom clerks. I'm not going to give names, but some of the biggest technology companies in the world, we've had a few of their CEOs at some of our events, and they're just blown away. They just come as individuals with their family or wife. They don't try to, you know, they're not asking for anything special. They just show up to these events, along with a teacher and a court reporter. So
when somebody's in the visitor center, they walk in off the highway, how do you engage them? How do you make them aware that the foundation exists and is something they might want to become involved in?
Well, that's the next thing. We call that the low-hanging fruit. We're just getting to the point where now we're looking at the visitor center as our low-hanging fruit. Here's almost 1 million people a year coming through here from all over the world. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they love the castle. And so that will really be our next step, is creating engagements and platforms to be able to quickly, because everything has to be quick these days, quickly share our story with them, and then have the ability for them to get on their phone or to get on a tablet that we'll provide in order to engage and become a member and potentially make a reservation for one of these events. But what I was saying about the people that are coming to these events is, it's really once they understand what our mission is and once they see what we're doing, then they just become donors. It's not about the event. It's about, I love what you guys are doing. I love this place. This is an important place because of the architecture, because of the art, because of Julia Morgan's legacy. What you're doing with the kids, I just want to be a donor. And so that's where these events have become very, very important for us.
Very, very cool. We could go on for hours. We haven't even gone up to the hill yet.
You have to come back.
We'll do part two.
Yes, I would love for you to do that.
Okay, so before we go, a moment about Michael Young.
Oh, gosh.
You are like, just like Hearst Castle. What's about the Super Bowl?
Yeah, well, I guess I'm the jack of all trades, master of none. I had obviously a past life, but, you know, I was on this board, like I said, almost 18 years ago, and that was because I was very fortunate. I played 10 years in the NFL and semi-retired.
You were L.A. Rams, and then?
I was with 4 years with the Los Angeles Rams before they moved to St. Louis and back. 4 years with the Denver Broncos, a year with the Philadelphia Eagles, and a year with the Kansas City Chiefs. I was a wide receiver. I was not a household name, but to play 10 years in the NFL, that's something I'm very proud of.
Didn't you go Super Bowl?
I did, yes. Yeah. The Super Bowl I played in, for all your Bay Area listeners, I got to unfortunately play against the 49ers in the 1990 Super Bowl, which happens to be the greatest football team that's ever been assembled, and we were on the losing end of that. But at least I made it. But I was 14 years in the front office with the Broncos. And so I was able to experience two Super Bowl victories as an executive.
Here you are living on the Central Coast now.
Yes.
Are you in Cambria? Where do you live?
Yeah, we're in Cambria. We've had a place in Cambria for over 20 years. And so we were going back and forth from Pasadena to Cambria. And when this came up, this opportunity to help this organization rebrand and repurpose their mission, expand their mission, you know, I said, I got to keep busy. And this has kept me a lot more busy than I really wanted to. Mm-hmm. But I knew that it was going to take some time to get to this point. And we really are now at a point where I think we can officially call it a rebirth of an organization.
Tell me you've strong-armed a couple former players.
Oh, well, I always, you know, that's coming. We're going to have a couple events. One of the events I'd really love to be able to create here is Hollywood Returns to the Castle, because that's really what, you know, the lore of the castle is, all the people that from Hollywood that came up, and sports figures, politicians, you name it, and it's something that is part of the history. And again, what we try to do with our events is just to recreate history.
Michael, for further information, where would you direct somebody to learn more?
You're going to go to our website, which is the best way to really kind of see what we're all about. And I'm really proud of our website. And again, working on a shoestring budget, this will continue to expand and grow. Please go to foundation@hearstcastle.com. So foundation@hearstcastle.com.
Michael Young, what a great morning in paradise. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Tom. Appreciate you making the trip.
My pleasure. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Hearst Castle.
Truly extraordinary. They had been part of a dream. A dream William Randolph Hearst had had since he was a 10-year-old boy touring with his mother. Hedda Hopper, the famous Hollywood columnist, once said, "Never has anything like the castle been built before, and never will anything like it be built again."
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org.